بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه من والاه. أما بعد، البحث الرابع في القياس. So we are on the final discussion from the four أصول. The first was كتاب الله, then سنة, then إجماع, and now we are on قياس. تعريف القياس. What is the definition of قياس? In very simple terms, if we have a certain ruling, a certain issue, okay, and we understand the reasoning, the illah, the cause and the reason for that ruling, and then we have other issues for which we have no ruling in nas. So there is a separate issue where kitab, sunnat and ijma' did not give us any clear ruling. But the same reasoning and the same cause is found, then the same hukam can be applied there. This is qiyas. Okay? For example, khamr, wine. Quran tells us that is haram. رجل من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه. It's haram. We know that. So khamr is mansus alayh. That is the asl. We have many things which are غير منصوص عليه, like نبيذ, or like drugs, other intoxicants. There's no حكم for them in the Quran or Sunnah. However, when you look at خمر, what's the reason for it being haram? The illah is intoxication, that they intoxicate mind, they cloud one's judgment, okay, and they cause fights and arguments, they cause a person to be distracted from salah and dhikrullah, as mentioned in the Quran or indicated to. So therefore, anything which intoxicates should be haram. This is qiyas. Okay, we have khamar mansus alayh, nabidh ghair mansus alayh, and the illah is takhmirul aql, intoxication. So wherever تخمير العقل is found, then the حكم of حرمت is also found. So in نبيذ, if تخمير العقل is found, then the حكم of حرمة will also be found. This is the summary and the gist of what قياس is. So it's not pure logic, it's a specific type of logic known as analogy. القياس في اللغة التقدير. Literally, قياس means to measure. يقال قس النعل بالنعل. It is said that measure the slipper or the sandal with the sandal. Okay, that, you can say the sole with the sole, S-O-L-E. So in the in those days, when you would go to the shop to buy sandals, you just buy the sole, and then you would tie this lace yourself and make it into a slipper or a sandal. So, of course, you want both sandals to be the same size. So if you've got one which is the correct size, you'll get the new one, you'll put it with the old one, and then you'll cut it to size, cut it to measure. So we know the old one is the correct size, right? I'm a size 9. I know that my old shoe is size 9. The new one could be size 12, size 13, size 14, we don't know. So what do? We put it with the old one, we make a line, we draw a line on it, and we cut it. So now they're both the same. So this is the meaning of measuring the shoe with the shoe, or the sandal with the sandal. أَيْقَدِّرْهُ بِهِ, i.e. measure it accordingly. وَجَعَلْهُ نَظِيرَ الْآخَرِ, and make it the same as the other. So that's what we do in Qiyas. We know the hukam of khamar. We don't know the hukam of nabith, so we apply the hukam of khamar to nabith because the illah is found. Okay. وَاصْطِلَاحًا هُوَ تَقْدِيرُ الْفَرْعِ بِالْأَصْلِ فِي الْحُكْمِ وَالْعِلَّةِ. In the terminology of fuqaha, qiyas means to you could say to match the fara' with the asal. The far' by far' in when you talk about qiyas, far' literally branch means the new issue, the issue on which we don't have any hukum. And bil asal, asal means the issue and the mas'ala on which we do have a hukum. Okay? In other words, far is the maqis where we're doing qiyas to. And asal is the maqis alayh on which we are doing qiyas. Okay? So, in terminology of fuqaha, qiyas is to measure the far', the maqis, okay, the one which has been derived, against the original, against the maqis alayh, the one which we are doing qiyas to. Okay, so in the example I gave earlier, nabith is the far', we don't have any hukam. Khamar is the asr, we do have a hukam. So to measure, okay, or to match nabith with khamar, in terms of fil hukmi wal illah, in terms of ruling and cause. So the hukam is hurmat. Khamar is haram, therefore nabith is also haram. This is the hukam. And illah is the cause. So in the example of khamar, the illah is takhmirul aql. So in khamar there is takhmirul aql. Is there takhmirul aql in nabith? If the answer is yes, then the hukam will be matched as well. If the answer is no, then the hukam will not be matched, it will not be haram. حكمه. What's the ruling of qiyas? هو حجة نقلا وعقلا. That it is a hujja. It is a dalil and a proof. And this, the fact that is hujja, is established through naql and aql. If we go into more detailed books of usul, then it explains that there is some ikhtilaf here. Some people said only aqlan and like mu'tazila وغيره, but we don't need to go into that detail here. What it means is through naql, right, through Quran and hadith, we find the qiyas is a hujjah. In the Quran, fa'tabiru ya ulil absar, and in the ahadith, we have the hadith of Mu'az, which is famous, bima taqdi ya Mu'az, and then ajtahid bi ra'yi, and also the hadith of the lady from the qabila of Khatham who came and asked, can I do hajj on behalf of my father? And Rasulullah said, if your father had a loan, would you pay it? She said yes. He said, so Rasulullah applied qiyas and showed us how to apply qiyas there. And aqlan, through logic, okay, according to manatika, scholars of mantiq as well, they consider qiyas to be a hujjah, although their definition of qiyas may differ somewhat. But through logic, it can be proved that qiyas is a hujjah. وَأَنَّهُ مُظْهِرٌ لِلْحُكْمِ لَا مُثْبِتٌ. The qiyas only shows a ruling, it does not establish any ruling. Okay. For example, when we say that nabith and other types of intoxicants are haram due to qiyas, it doesn't mean that qiyas made them haram. They were already haram. Qiyas just helped us to show and identify and clarify that they are haram. Okay? So qiyas doesn't make any, doesn't establish any hukum, like the Quran and Sunnah can. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through kitab and sunnah, he can establish ahkam, he can give new ahkam. As long as wahi was continuing. Now wahi has stopped, so no new ahkam will be established. However, through qiyas, if any new rulings come, we may consider them as new, but in reality, they were already there. They were already, the ruling were already in effect. It's just that it only became clear to us now. Okay? Because Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Allah Ta'ala has completed the deen. Allah has already given us the rulings for everything. But as time progresses and new issues appear, then the fuqaha have to find those rulings. They don't make up new rulings, they find the rulings. So they just open them up and clarify them for us, whereas before they were hidden. Okay? So no new ruling is established through qiyas. It's just the existent rulings
opened up and clarified made apparent for us. شروط صحة القياس. ولصحة القياس خمسة شروط. There are five conditions for قياس to be valid. Okay. So if any of these is missing, then the قياس is فاسد. It's invalid, it's void. الأول لا يكون القياس في مقابلة النص. Number one, قياس cannot be in contradiction to a text. Okay, if something is explicit in Quran or Sunnah, then we can't use qiyas to go against that. Okay? So it's very important. If you have nas, so the hierarchy is the order that we mentioned. Kitabullah, then Sunnah, then Ijma'. Only if you can't find something in these three, then we turn to qiyas. Okay, if we have Quran or Sunnah or Ijma', we won't look at qiyas. We only turn to qiyas when we don't have the above three. كَقَوْلِهِ قذف المحصنة في الصلاة لا ينتقض به الوضوء فكيف ينقض بالقهقه. Somebody can object that in the Hanafi mazhab, if somebody laughs loud in Salah, then the wuzu breaks, okay? Because this is a sin. So they say that there are many sins which are far more severe than laughing loud. For example, قذف المحصنة. This was an objection that was made to one of the Imams. That's why it's mentioned as a example here. That if somebody accuses an innocent person of zina, this is a major sin. Such a major sin that Sharia has stipulated a had for it of 80 lashes. So it's قذف المحصنة is definitely a greater sin than qahqaha, laughing loud. Therefore, wudu should break from qadhful muhsanat. That's what Qiyas tells us, that if a sin breaks wudu, a sin in salah breaks wudu, and qahqaha in salah is a sin, therefore it breaks wudu, then qadhful muhsanat should also break wudu. And if qadhful muhsanat doesn't break wudu, there's ijma' that قذف المحصن does not break wudu, then قهقه should not break wudu as well. Okay, this is the قياس. So, كقوله, somebody could say that accusing a chaste woman in salah does not break wudu, or wudu does not break by it. Then why does it break with قهقه وهي دونه في الإثم, whilst قهقه is less than قذف المحصن in sin? قلنا, we will say, so our answer to this, هذا قياس في مقابلة النص, that this is قياس in contradiction or against نص. Okay? This is قياس against نص. Why? وهو حديث العربي الذي في عينه سوء. That is the hadith of the Bedouin who had some what do you call it? Impairment or deficiency in his vision. The hadith is that a Bedouin who couldn't see properly came into the masjid, and there was a ditch. So he tripped and he fell into the hole, into the ditch. So some of the Sahaba, the young Sahaba, laughed at this. So when Salah was completed, Rasulullah said, whoever laughs should go back, do wudu, and perform Salah again. So for you to say that because qadhful muhsana does not break wudu, then laughing loud also should not break wudu, this is qiyas. However, because this qiyas goes against this hadith, therefore the qiyas is fasid, is void and invalid. Okay? So qiyas cannot go against nas. Number two, athaniyan la yataghayyaru bihi hukmun min ahkam an-nas. That by qiyas, a ruling established from nas should not change. Okay, so something which has been established by nas, no change should come to it. So no takhsis, no ta'wil, no difference, no changes should come to it. Like somebody could say
The intention should be shart in wudu, just like in tayammum. Okay, Shafi'iyah say that intention is a shart in wudu. If you don't, so if you just wash yourself, like you wake up in the morning, you jump in the shower, you wash yourself, and you got out, your wudu is not done. Hanafiyah say that you, even if you didn't have the intention, but if all the a'dha of wudu are washed, the farz a'dha, then your wudu is done. You have wudu. But they say, no, you never had intentions, your wudu is not done. So if somebody does qiyas on tayammum, they say, look, in tayammum, we both agree, Shafi'iyah and Hanafiyah agree, that in tayammum, niyat is necessary. If you just strike your hand on the sand and, you know, you wipe your face and your arms, then tayammum is not done unless you had intention. So qiyas dictates that if niyat is shart in tayammum, then niyat should also be shart in wudu. So the answer is قُلْنَا, we would say هَذَا يُوجِبُ تَغْيِيرَ حُكْمِ آيَةِ الْوُضُوءِ مِنَ الْإِطْلَاقِ إِلَى التَّقْيِيدِ. This necessitates changing the ruling of the ayat of wudu from mutlaq to muqayyad, from unrestricted to being restricted. We've mentioned earlier, right in the beginning, mutlaq and muqayyad. Mutlaq means something which is general, which is not restricted by certain conditions or descriptions. And muqayyad, something which is bound and restricted by certain conditions. So if you make a mutlaq into muqayyad, then that is a change. That is a type of change. Okay, and you can't use qiyas to change a mutlaq of kitabullah, because kitabullah is qat'i and qiyas is zanni. So you can't use qiyas to make a mutlaq into muqayyad. In other words, if something in the Quran is mentioned without certain conditions, you can't use qiyas to add conditions to it. Because if the Quran mentioned it general, then we can't make it specific. Okay? This would be a form of taghyir and change, and this is not allowed. So this qiyas is fasid. The qiyas is fasid. Number three, لا يكون حكم الأصل مما لا يعقل معناه. Sometimes the maqis alayh, the asal, what we are doing qiyas onto itself is contradicts qiyas. So you can't do further qiyas on there. Okay? If something itself is khilaf of qiyas, you can't do qiyas on there. Okay? I may have mentioned this, where the issue comes of ijara. I don't know if I mentioned it in here. It comes in Usul al-Shashi. That Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullahi does qiyas onto ijara. Ijara, when you loan something, then you are paying for a manfaat. You're paying for the benefit. For example, if I hire a car, I'm paying for use of the car. Now, this is khilaf of qiyas, because use of a car is not something you can measure. Okay, it's not tangible. Everybody uses it differently. Therefore, it shouldn't be allowed. But Sharia has allowed it due to necessity, and there's ijma that is allowed. However, we can't do further qiyas on there. Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullah does qiyas on that in the mas'ala of itlaful mazmunat. For example, you steal somebody's car and you use it, Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullah says you have to compensate them as you would if you had hired it. But Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali says this is qiyas on something which itself is khilaful qiyas. That's not allowed. Okay, so you can't do qiyas onto something which is khilaful qiyas. Okay, the example given here, فَلَا يُقَاسُ عَلَى جَوَازِ التَّوَضِّي بِنَبِيذِ التَّمْنِ غَيْرُهُ مِنَ الْأَنْبِذَةِ. Okay, so the mas'ala of wudu with nabiz is a detailed one. Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali, in one opinion, in one riwayat, allowed it because of the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once did wudu with nabiz. Okay, nabiz is when you leave dates in water for some time, so the taste and the color of the dates comes into the water. Here, the sweetness of the date and the color of the dates comes into the water. That is now nabith. So it's no longer ma mutlaq, it's no longer water. It's changed now to nabith. However, because the riwayat says, the narration says that Rasulullah made wudu with it, so Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah's opinion at one time was that you can do wudu with nabith. Now, can we do qiyas on that and say if somebody puts
raisins in water. So now that is nabith made from zabib, not nabith al-tamr. Or if somebody puts some other type of fruit or some kind of thing in water, and the taste and the sweetness, the color, sometimes even the smell comes into that water. So because we can do wudu with nabith of tamar, we should be able to do wudu in nabith of other types. Okay, this is a valid, this is a qiyas. But because doing wudu with nabith of tamar itself is khilaf al qiyas, therefore you can't do further qiyas onto it. So even if we say that wudu with nabith of tamar is allowed, that will not mean that wudu with other types of nabith should be allowed, because the asal itself is khilaf al qiyas. Asal itself is going against qiyas, because qiyas dictates that wudu with nabith of tamar should not be allowed because it's not water, and for wudu we need water. So we've gone against qiyas because of the hadith, but we can't do further qiyas onto there now. Therefore, فلا يقاس على جواز التوضي من الفيتامين غير من الأنبذة. That different types of nabith, okay, other types of nabith cannot be so we cannot do qiyas of different types of nabith upon the permissibility of doing wudu with the nabith of dates. Okay? We cannot do qiyas, or qiyas cannot be done of other types of nabith upon permissibility of doing wudu with nabith of tamr. لأن الحكم في الأصل لم يعقل معناه. Because the hukam, the ruling in the original issue, meaning the asal is جواز التوضي بنبيذ التمر. In the original issue of permissibility of wudu with nabith al-tamr, the hukam itself in the asal was غير معقول المعنى, was such that its meaning was not in accordance with qiyas. فاستحال تعديته إلى الفرع. Therefore, it is not possible to carry it further to the فرع. By فرع, it means غيره من الأنبذة, other types of nabith. Number four, رابعا, يقول القياس لإثبات حكم شرعي لا لمعنى لغوي. The قياس must be to establish a ruling of Sharia, not a linguistic ruling. Okay, that you can't do قياس in لغة. This is also اختلافي مسألة between Hanafiya and Shafi'iyya, mentioned in detail in books of fiqh, that there's no قياس in لغة. كقوله, for example, somebody could say المطبوخ المنصف خمر لأنه يخامر العقل. The مطبوخ المنصف, the grape juice which is boiled until half of it burns away. Okay, if you in Kitab al-Ashriba, in the books of Hadith and Fiqh, there's detail of the different types of drinks which can be intoxicant. So طلاء المثلث المنصف. So مطبوخ المنصف is khamr. This is somebody says, but Hanafiya say it's not khamr, because in the Arabic language, if you boil away half of the grape juice, then nobody calls it khamr. The Arabs would not call it khamr. They had different names for it. Okay, but khamr is not one of them. So therefore, it's not khamr. But if somebody says, like the Shafi'iyya say, that مطبوخ المنصف is khamr, why? لأنه يخامر العقل, because it covers the mind. Okay, the word تخمير and مخامرة literally means to cover something up. And wine is called خمر because it covers the mind. It intoxicates it, you can't use it anymore. So therefore, anything which covers the mind should be called خمر. قلنا هذا قياس في معنى اللغة. We say this is قياس in a linguistic meaning, لا في حكم الشرعي, not in a Sharia ruling, and qiyas in language is not allowed. Qiyas has to be in Sharia ahkam, not in lughawi ahkam and lughawi ma'ani. Number five, la yakunu al-far'u mansusan alayh. The far' should not be mansus alayh. So
in previously we said it shouldn't be muqabala of nafs, is similar to that but it's slightly different. But if the far, meaning the maqis, the mas'ala we didn't qiyas to, is already mansus and we already have a ruling, then how can you do qiyas in there? We mentioned right in the beginning, we only do qiyas where we don't have kitab, sunnah, ijma. So if we already have a nas, then we can't use qiyas there. كقوله إعتاق الرقبة الكافرة في كفارة اليمين والزحاء لا يجوز كما في كفارة غير الخطأ قلنا هذا قياس في فروع منصوص عليها فلا يجوز. Okay. In the Quran, there are three places where specific types of kafara are mentioned. Okay. One is kafarat al-qatl, where Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا خَطَأً فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ وَدِيَةٌ مُسَلَّمَةٌ إِلَى أَهْلِهَا. Another one is كفارة الزِّهَار وَالَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ ثُمَّ يَعُودُونَ لِمَا قَالُوا فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَتَمَاسَّ. And the third one is كفارة اليمين. لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان فكفارته إطعام 10 مساكين من أوسط The first one, kafarat al-qatl, Allah Ta'ala said, فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ, that the kafara and expiation for the sin is that a believing slave, a Muslim slave, must be freed. Okay, but when it comes to zihar, there's no mention of believing. It's just فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ, and also in yameen, it's just فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ. There's no mention of mu'minah there. So now Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi is qiyas here. He says that in kafaratul qatl, if it has to be a Muslim slave, then in kafaratul zihar and kafaratul yameen, it should also be a Muslim slave. However, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi says that it's not permissible to do qiyas here because the maqis alayhi, okay, the maqis alayhi is Kafaratul Qatl, sorry. The Maqis or the Far' here is Kafaratul Zihar, Kafaratul Yameen. They themselves are Mansus. Okay? And Allah Ta'ala mentioned them as Mutlaq. So we can't use Qiyas to make them Muqayyad. Okay? Allah only said for Zihar, Fatahli Raqabah min qabli an yatamassa, no mention of Mu'minah. In Yameen, Faman lam yajid, sorry, Fatahli Raqabah. Then from Allah Majid for Siyamu Thalathati Ayyam, there's no mention of Mu'minah there. Therefore, if a person kills somebody accidentally, then the kafara is freeing a free slave. But if somebody did zihar from his wife, the definition of zihar is in the books of fiqh. Somebody did zihar, or if somebody took an oath and broke it, then they can free any slave. It doesn't have to be a Muslim slave. They can free a non-Muslim slave as well. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, in all three cases, the slave must be a Muslim. So Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi has used qiyas. We say that you can't use qiyas here because the issue that you need qiyas of is mansus alayh, is mutlaq, and is mentioned there, is so you can't make it muqayyad. So, for example, they're saying that freeing of a non-Muslim slave in kafara yameen and zihar is not permissible, just as in the kafara of accidental murder, accidental killing or manslaughter. We say this is qiyas fi furu'in mansusin aliha. This is qiyas in such issues which have already been mentioned in the text. Therefore, it is not permissible. Then ruknul qiyas. What is the pillar of qiyas? What are the fundamentals of qiyas? وركن القياس هو العلة أي الوسق الذي يناط به الحكم الشرعي. يوجد الحكم بوجوده وينعدم بانعدامه كوصف السكر في الخمر. The pillar of qiyas is the illah, the cause, the reasoning. Okay? So the illah is defined here. اي اي That description with which the Sharia ruling is, if you say, attached. So let's take the example of wine. We know wine is haram. Why is wine haram? There are so many descriptions of wine. For example, wine is sweet. So if we say that the illat of wine being haram is sweet, then that means anything which is sweet is haram. Of course, that's not true. Okay, wine is a liquid. So if we say that anything which is liquid, if we say that being liquid is the illat, that means anything which is liquid is haram. That's of course not true as well. Okay, wine has other attributes. Okay, it's red or white in color. So anything red or white in color should be haram. That's not true. So which of the different awsaf, different descriptions, which is the specific description to which the hurmat is related? So when we look into it, we see wine intoxicates. And that is the one wasf amongst the many awsaf which is connected to the hurmat, which is the cause for the hurmat. Therefore, anything which has the wasf of intoxication should be haram. Okay, so again, the pillar of qiyas, okay, is illa, i.e., that specific description with which is by which the shari'i hukam, the shari'i ruling is caused and is attached and is connected. In such a manner, this is sifa now, yujadu al-hukmi wujudihi. In such a manner that the ruling is found if that specific wasf is found, if that specific description is found, or that specific feature is found. When adimu bin idamihi, and if that specific feature is not found, then the wasf, the hukam is also not found. So in any liquid, if intoxication is not found, then the hukam of hurmat should also not be found. Kawasfi sakari fil khamr, just like the description or the feature of intoxication in wine. Yeah. So in summary, the most important thing in qiyas is the illah. We must identify the illah. Once we can identify the illah and the cause for a certain ruling, then wherever that same illah is found, the same hukam and ruling should be found as well. Okay, if the hukam, if the illah is making something haram, then wherever that illah is found, the hukam of hurmat will be there. If the illat is making something farz, then wherever that illat is found, the hukam of farziyat should be found, and so on. So now the question comes, how do we know what the illat is? How can we identify the illat? فَطُرُقُ مَعْرِفَةِ الْإِلَّةِ وَيُعْرَفُ الْإِلَّةُ بِالْكِتَابِ وَالسُنَّةِ وَالْإِجْمَاءِ وَالْإِجْتِهَادِ. Sometimes illah can be understood by Kitabullah. The Quran tells us what the illat is, and sometimes by sunnah and ijma' and ijtihad. Ijtihad, deduction for a scholar to think and derive the illah. So the example of the illah, مِثَالُ الْإِلَّةِ مَعْلُومَةِ بِالْكِتَابِ, the example of such an illah which is known by Quran is كَثْرَةُ الطَّوَافِ, constantly coming and going. فَإِنَّهَا جعلت علة لسقوط الحرج في الاستئذان في قوله تعالى طوافون عليكم بعضكم على بعض. Okay, so in Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us many rulings of how to behave in society, and one of those rulings is that when you go to somebody's house, then you should knock. يَسْتَأْذِنْكُمُ الَّذِينَ مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ, and before that the ayat is لا تدخلوا بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا وتسلموا على أهلها, that don't just walk into somebody's house until you make your presence known and you do salam and you take permission. Okay, in those days they didn't have doors on their houses. At the most they just used to have a cloth hanging. So in Jahiliyyah, they just walk in and out of each other's houses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ruling that no, don't just walk into someone's house. You must do salam first, and by salam, you take ijazah. So, if the people in the house are in a manner that they don't want to be seen, then you won't see them in that way. So now, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an exception that لِيَسْتَأْذِنْكُمُ الَّذِينَ مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُوا الْحُلُمَ مِنْكُمْ 3 مَرَّاتٍ. The young children and your slaves and your workers, they only need to take permission on 3 specific times, which are the times where people usually rest. So, people are in their night clothes, or they may be, not in a way they want to be seen. Otherwise, throughout the day, children and slaves don't need to keep asking for permission. Okay? So they only need to ask permission when coming to Salat al-Fajr, before Fajr, before dawn, so at night time, and in the afternoon, because people would generally rest and have their siesta in the afternoon, then afternoon sleep, and Ba'di Salat al-Isha, after Isha. Otherwise, they don't need to ask for permission. And then Allah Ta'ala says, why is this? Why? Tawafuna alaykum ba'dukum ala ba'd. Because these people, slaves and children, are constantly coming and going. Tawaf means to go around. Means they keep going around. They come in, out, it's like they're in a circle. So if every single time they want to come in the house, can I come in? Then what's going to happen? That's going to cause haraj. It's going to cause difficulty. Okay? So the haraj of istidhan, the difficulty caused by istidhan, that is the illah for the hukam. What is the hukam? That they don't need to ask for ijazah, they don't ask for permission. In other words, everybody must ask for permission before they come in the house, but these specific people do not need to ask for permission. So, and the reason for this ruling is that if they were to ask for permission, it would cause haraj. So the reason is daf'ul haraj, to remove haraj. Okay. So over here, we have a hukam in the Quran, and the illat is also mentioned in the Quran. So wherever this illat is found, now we can apply it elsewhere. Okay, a second example, والتيسير فإنه جعل علة الإفطار المريض والمسافر في قوله تعالى يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Again, Allah Ta'ala says, كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم, that fasting is farz. But then Allah says, فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخرى. If somebody is ill or they are traveling, then they can fast on other days. So the hukam is that Marid and Musafir don't have to fast on those days. And what's the reason? Allah Ta'ala himself mentioned the reason, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah does not intend difficulty for you. So the illah and reason is mentioned in the Quran. Okay. ثانياً مِثَالُ الْعِلَّةِ الْمَعْلُومَةِ بِالسُّنَّةِ. Examples of those illah and causes which are known from the Sunnah. استرخاء المفاصل فإنه جعل علة لنقض الوضوء في النوم في قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنه إذا نام مضطجعا استرخت مفاصله. Okay. In the hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I don't remember the exact wording, but I'll quote it as far as I remember, that ليس الوضوء على من نام قائما أو راكعا أو قاعدا أو ساجدا. He says that. I'm sorry. إنما الوضوء على من نام مضطجعا فإنه إذا نام مضطجعا استرخت مفاصله. The wudu is not necessary on a person, meaning wudu is not broken if somebody sleeps standing or in ruku or in sujood. Yeah. Ruku is only necessary on that person who sleeps lying down. Because if a person sleeps lying down, istarkhat mafasiluhu, then his joints become loose, or his parts of his body become relaxed. Yeah. His body becomes relaxed. So the hadith explains to us that when a person lies down, then his body is relaxed, there's a chance of passing of wind without him knowing because he's asleep. So therefore, because of this chance, if a person sleeps lying down, then he must consider the wuzu to be broken, and he must do wuzu again. But if a person sleeps in the condition of ruku', sometimes a long salah, and you doze off in that condition, standing, ruku', sujood, then a person's wuzu will not break. Why? Because the body is not relaxed enough to have passed wind without realizing. Okay, if the body was so relaxed, he wouldn't be in ruku' or sujood, he'd be on the ground. Therefore, the wuzu does not break. Now, this hadith does not mention the situation of a person sitting whilst leaning on something. Okay, it doesn't tell us. However, the hadith tells us the illat of wuzu breaking in sleep is istirkha'ul mafasil. So the question comes, when a person is sitting down, does istirkha'ul mafasil happen or not? In other words, is there a possibility of him passing wind without realizing or not? If it's possible that he may have passed wind without realizing, then the wuzu should break. And if that's not possible, the wuzu should not break. So the fuqaha discussed this in detail, which scenarios the wuzu breaks and not. But the purpose here is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not just give us the hukam, he also gave us the illah. So sometimes the illah is known by sunnah, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us the illah. Number three, مِثَالُ الْعِلَّةِ الْمَعْلُومَةِ بِالْإِجْمَاعِ. Sometimes the illah can be known through ijma. The example is الصِّغَر. فَإِنَّهُ جُعِلَ عِلَّةً لِوِلَايَةِ الْأَبِي فِي حَقِّ الصَّغِيرِ إِجْمَاعًا وَالْبُلُوغُ عَنْ مَعَ الْعَقْلِ عِلَّةٌ لِزَوَالِ وِلَايَةِ الْأَبِي فِي حَقِّ الْغُلَامِ إِجْمَاعًا. The father has authority over his children to marry them. He is the wali. The father has certain authority over his children. Now, when does this authority last till? Okay, this, with regards to girls, there is some difference. The Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullah says the consideration is for being bakira or tayyiba. Okay. Whereas Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi says it's sirr. When it comes to boys, there's no difference of opinion. That as long as a boy is saghir, he's not baligh, he's not mature, then the father has wilayat. And once a boy becomes baligh and mature, then the father's authority and wilayat is no longer there. So that ijma' that the illat of wilayat for a boy is sigar, and the illat for removal of the father's wilayat over a boy is bulugh. Ma on this. So, example of the illat known by ijma is sigar being a child, because it has been made the illat for the father's authority in relation to a young boy by ijma, and becoming mature with intellect, okay, as long as it's not majnoon, then becoming mature is a illat and a cause for removal of the father's authority in relation to a boy through ijma. So the illat is known through ijma. Okay. Number four, مِثَالُ الْعِلَّةِ الْمَعْلُومَةِ بِالْإِجْتِهَادِ. The example of an illat which is known through ijtihad. القدر مع الجنس في الأموال الربوية فإنه جعل علة لحرمة الربا في حديث الأشياء الستة. Okay. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned six things which must be exchanged in equal measure. If you exchange them for the same thing. Okay. الذهب بالذهب. Gold for gold. والفضة بالفضة. Silver for silver. والتمر بالتمر. Dates for dates. And then, والشعير بالشعير. والحنطة بالحنطة. I've mixed the order up. Wheat for wheat, barley for barley, and والملح بالملح, salt for salt. or insemination, zabib is zabib. Raisins for raisins. That if you are exchanging these things for one another, then they must be yadan bi yadin, mithlin bi mithlin. They must be immediately exchanged and they must be in equal measure. Otherwise, it will be riba. So, Rasulullah mentioned these six things. That in these six things, if you are exchanging them, you must exchange them in equal measure. He didn't mention why. He didn't mention other things. Okay. So, this is why the Zahiriyyah say, if I remember correctly, the riba only happens in these six things, not in anything else. However, the Aimma Arba'a all mentioned some kind of illat, and then wherever the illat is found, then the same hukam is found. Okay, but the illat is not mentioned in Quran, the illat is not mentioned in the hadith, and there is no ijma' on the illat either. This is why Umar radiallahu anhu expressed a desire that I wish Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have clarified some abwab al-riba. So he was referring to this. Okay, this is called riba al-fadl. With riba al-nasi'a, when you loan somebody an interest on there, there's no ikhtilaf in there. Okay, but over here there is ikhtilaf because it wasn't clarified, it wasn't clear. And Hazrat Umar then said, I wish Rasulullah would have clarified this. However, Rasulullah has left it for the mujtahideen. And there's hikmat in there as well. Even in when the mujtahideen differ, there's hikmat in there, there's wisdom in there. So, what is the illah? So Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi says that the illat is qadr ma'al jins, that gold and silver are sold by weight, and the remaining items, wheat, barley, dates, etc., they are sold by volume. So anything which is sold by weight or volume, if you are exchanging in for one another, then it must be in equal measure. Okay, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi says that gold and silver are thaman, and the remaining things are food stuff. Okay. So anything which is thaman, which is used as price, used as currency, or anything which is used as food, must be exchanged in equal measure. So the illat, according to his ijtihad, is thamaniyat and ta'miyat. According to Imam Sab, the illat is qadr ma'al jins. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said qut wa dikhar. Thamaniyat or qut wa dikhar. The gold and silver are thaman. And the other things are things which are food stuff which can be stored for a long time. Therefore, in vegetables and fruit, there won't be riba. But in things which can be stored, there is riba. And Imam Ahmad, if I remember correctly, is similar to Hanafiyyah. Wallahu a'lam. So, we have the ruling for these six things. But what's the illat? It's not mentioned in Quran, Sunnah, or Ijma'. So, Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi ijtihad, he came to one conclusion. There is qadr ma'al jins. Okay, wasn't okay, ma'al jins. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi ijtihad, he came to a different conclusion. There is samaniyat or ta'miyat. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi ijtihad, he came to a different conclusion. There is thamaniyat or qut al-dikhar. So each of the imams did ijtihad and looked at all the awsaf and chose one specific wasf to be the illat. This is the illat known by ijtihad. So just to translate that, the example of the illat known by ijtihad is qadr, measure with jins in those types of commodities in which there is riba. So indeed it has been made an illat, this is according to Hanafiya, it has been made an illat for the prohibition of riba in the hadith of the six things. And you can see the hadith here, Imam Muslim in his Sahih, الذهب بالذهب والفضة والفضة والبر بالبر والشعير بالشعير والثمر بالتمر والملح بالملح مثلا بمثل سواء بسواء يدا بيد فإذا اختلفت هذه الأصناف فبيعوا كيف شئتم إن كان يدا بيد. If they're not the same things, if you're not exchanging one thing for another of the same type, then it can be however you want. ولا بد للعلة من أمرين. So we've discussed so far that the main pillar of qiyas, the most important thing in qiyas is the illah. But for an illah to be effective, two things are needed. Okay, for an illah to be effective in qiyas, there are two things. Number one is as-salahiyyah. As-salahiyyah, it must be appropriate. Ay mula'amatuha. That it must be appropriate, it must be relevant, okay? It must be munasib and common. It must have some commonality with the issue at hand. يعني تكون العلة على وفق العلل المنقولة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعن السلف. i.e. the cause should be consistent with those different types of illas and causes which have been narrated from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Salaf. قولنا في الثيب الصغيرة إنها تزوج كرها لأنها صغيرة فهذا تعليل بوصف ملائم. Like we say in relation to a saghira, a young girl, that she can be married against her will by her father or her wali because she is saghira. So this is ta'lil, is identifying an illa bi wasf mula'im with a wasf, a feature or a description which is appropriate. Okay, so in saghira, the hukam is that thayyib al-saghira, a young girl who has previously been married, okay, and her husband died or she was divorced. So now, the Hanafi Mazhab says that the father is allowed to marry her off to somebody else. But the Shafi Mazhab says the father cannot marry her off to somebody else now because she is Sayyiba. And the father only has authority over Bakira, a virgin, not over a Sayyiba. So we say that the illat is Sigar, the fact that she's a child, because as long as she's a child, she doesn't have her own authority. She can't marry herself. So if the father sees some maslaha and some benefit in conducting her nikah, he can do so. So sigar is a wasfe mula'im. It's an appropriate wasf. Why is it appropriate? Because she doesn't have her own authority. So therefore, authority should be given to somebody else. Okay, in the Shafi'i Mazhab, if she say yiba saghira, she doesn't have authority over herself, neither does the father have authority over her. That means her nikah can't be done. Sometimes it may be munasib and better for her to have the nikah done. Okay, so therefore, the wasf is mulaim, is appropriate. Number two is adala. Adala over here means ta'thir, i.e. ta'thir, effectiveness. أي يظهر أثر العلة في عين الحكم أو في جنسه كالطواف ظهر أثره في سوء الهرة وكالصغر ظهر أثره في ولاية المال. The wasf should be effective. That it should be effective, i.e. the effect of the illah should be apparent in the actual hukam or its jins. Yeah. Sometimes the illah affects in the ayn or the naw, and sometimes in the jins. Okay. This is detailed in Usul al-Shashi. Musannif hasn't mentioned it in detail, so I won't go into detail as well. But simple way I used to explain it is, if it's the same now and if it's the ain hukam, that means the muzaf muzafari are both the same. For example, kat tawaf zahara atharu fi su'r al-hirra. Wa kat sigar zahara atharu fi wilayat al-mal. Okay. I'll explain it with my own example. We have in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala said that tawaf, constantly coming and going, is a reason for istidhan being saqit, because there is haraj in there. So those people don't need to keep asking for permission because of haraj, and the haraj is caused by tawaf. They are always coming and going. As a result of this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also gave a ruling that if a cat drinks from water, then that water will not become pure. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, because the cat comes and goes. So if we say that every time a cat drinks some water, you must throw that water away, this will cause haraj. So you can see here that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did qiyas of harajul ma on harajul istizan. Now this is qiyas in the illat is muttahid fil jins, not fil nawr. In other words, it's muttahid in a certain way, not in certain aspect, and not in certain aspect. Because over there, the haraj was of asking permission. And over here, the haraj is of, throwing away the water. So, and then the fuqaha made a further qiyas on this. The fuqaha made a further qiyas on this by saying that just as if a cat drinks from the water, then if a lizard or a mouse or some other small animal drinks from the water, it should not be impure and you don't have to throw the water away. And the reason for that is because just as in a cat that is haraj, because cat always comes and goes, then these small animals, lizards and mice and snakes, also come and go from the house, so there will be haraj if you have to wash the water each time, or wash the, throw away the water each time. So over here, the ijtihad is in the nawr, because they are exactly the same. Okay, the muzaf muzaf alay are the same. In both is harajul ma. Whereas over there, in the first example, is harajul istidhan and harajul ma. So it is muttahid fil jins, not fil nawr. But Musallif has only indicated towards it, so we won't go into detail. So like the tawaf, its effect is visible in the leftover water of a cat. Waqad sighar, and like being a child, zahara atharuhu fi wilayat al-mal, that its effect is apparent in wilayat al-mal. Over here, Musallif rahmatullahi alayh is also indicating to another issue, which is that we have difference of opinion with Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh in wilayatul nafs or wilayatul nikah, that a young boy has the father has authority over a young boy as long as he's saghir, because he can't marry himself, the father can marry him. Therefore, the father should have wilayat over a girl as long as she's saghira. As long as she's not baligha, he can marry her off. And once she is baligha, he can't. This is the ikhtilafi mas'ala. Another mas'ala is wilayatul mal. Wilayatul mal means that the father has authority over his children's wealth. Okay, he's allowed to invest and use their wealth bil ma'roof in an appropriate manner, as mentioned in the Quran, as long as they are saghir and saghira. Once they are baligh, then they have authority over their own wealth. The father or the wali has no authority over their wealth. So we say, look, if the father has wilayat over the mal, as long as they are children, and once they are old, he doesn't have wilayat. Then similarly, the father should have wilayat over their nafs and over their marriage, as long as they are saghir or saghira, and once they are baligh or baligha, then they have their own wilayat. So we do qiyas of wilayatul inkah upon wilayatul mal. Even though that they are muttahid fil jins, not fil naw, because one is wilayatul inkah, one is wilayatul mal. They're both common in terms of authority, but it's authority over a different thing. But still, we can do this type of qiyas because there is ta'thir, the illat is effective. فَلَا يَصِحُ الْعَمَلُ بِالْعِلَّةِ قَبْلَ الْمُلَاءَمَةِ. This issue is a bit more detailed in Usul al-Shashi, so
إن شاء الله we can study it better there. So it is not correct to act upon an illa قبل الملائمة unless it is ملائم unless it is appropriate لأنه عمل شرعي because it is a شرعي act. So it needs to be appropriate. وإذا ثبت الملائمة لم يجب العمل به إلا بعد العدالة. Once the appropriateness of the illa is established, then it will not be necessary to act upon it except after adala, meaning that the wasf is not just appropriate, but it's also effective. لأنه يحتمل الرد مع قيام الملائمة because it has the potential to be refuted even with it being appropriate. Okay. Sorry, I made a slight mistake. This issue, I already explained it above. I should have explained it here. We go through it again anyway. فالقياس على نوعين. Therefore, based on this قياس of two types, number one, ما يكون الحكم في الفرع من نوع الحكم الثابت في الأصل. Where the حكم of the فرع is from the نوع, the same type as the حكم which is established in the أصل. قولنا إن الصغر إن الصغر علة لولاية الإنكاح في الغلام فيثبت ولاية الإنكاح في الجارية لوجود العلة فيها ويثبت الحكم في الثيب الصغيرة. Like we say that صغر being a child and not being بالغ is علة for ولاية الإنكاح is a cause for authority of marrying off in a boy. This is agreed upon between Hanafiya and Shafiya. Therefore, Wilayat al-Inkah should also be established in a girl because the illat is found in her and the hukam should be established in relation to a sayyiba saghira, a saghira, a young girl who was previously married. So you see here, they're both wilayat al-Inkah. Wilayat al-Inkah in boy, wilayat al-Inkah in girl. So the muzaf, muzaf ilayh are the same. They are same in every way. Therefore, this is ittihad fi nawa. The second one, so over here is ittihad fil naw. But if we said wilayatul mal and wilayatul inkah, that would be ittihad fil jins because the muzaf is the same, muzaf is different. In other words, they are same in some ways, different in some ways. Okay. Number two, ma yakunu al-hukmu fil far'i min jins al-hukmi thabit fil asl. The hukam on the far' is from the same jins as the hukam which is established in the asl. So naw is more specific, jins is less specific. In other words, in naw we'll say the same in every way. In jins, the same in some ways and different in some ways. كَالْطَوَافُ إِلَّةُ سُقُوطِ الْإِسْتِيضَانِ. For example, tawaf, constantly coming and going, is a illat for the need for permission being waived. وَبِجِنْسِهِ. And because of this jins, the Prophet ﷺ gave the judgment in relation to the leftover water of a cat. So I mentioned this earlier, that Rasulullah ﷺ said, if a cat drinks from the water, then you don't need to throw away the water, and the illat was haraj. So previously, the illat was haraj of istidhan, and over here, the illat is haraj of najasatul sur. I was looking for that word. Yeah, haraj of najasatul sur. So the thing they have in common is haraj. But one is haraj of istidhan. One is haraj of najasatul sur. So therefore, there are two different types of haraj. So they are muttahid fil jins, but mukhtalif fil naw. Okay? So less specific. If they are muttahid fil naw, then they are same in every way. So that is stronger. And if they are muttahid fil jins, they are same in some ways, different in some ways. This is not as strong. But they're both still valid forms of qiyas. Okay. So, because of with this, so the link between haraj al-istidhan in relation to slaves and haraj al-su'r al-hirra is muttahid fil jins because it's same in some ways, but it's not muttahid fil naw, but it's different in some ways. Whereas if you take the example of the su'r of mouse and snake and scorpion, then that would be muttahid fil naw because in both cases إزحار جزء من جسد السور. Moving on. Okay, we've gone over the hour mark. So inshallah, we'll continue with this in the next lesson, which hopefully tomorrow inshallah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.